This is Audible.
Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of The Summer I Turned Pretty by Jenny Han, narrated by Jessica Almacy.
I say, "I can't believe you're really here." He sounds almost shy when he says, "Me neither." And then he hesitates. "Are you still coming with me?" I can't believe he even has to ask. I would go anywhere. "Yes," I tell him. It feels like nothing else exists outside of that word. This moment. There's just us. Everything that happened this past summer, and every summer before it, has all led up to this. To now. Chapter 1. We'd been driving for about 7,000 years. Or at least that's how it felt. My brother, Stephen, drove slower than our Granna. I sat next to him in the passenger seat with my feet up on the dashboard. Meanwhile, my mother was passed out in the back seat. Even when she slept, she looked alert. Like at any second, she could wake up and direct traffic. "Go faster," I urged Stephen, poking him in the shoulder. "Let's pass that kid on the bike." Stephen shrugged me off. "Never touch the driver," he said, "and take your dirty feet off my dashboard." I wiggled my toes back and forth. They looked pretty clean to me. "It's not your dashboard. It's gonna be my car soon, you know." "If you ever get your license," he scoffed. "People like you shouldn't even be allowed to drive." "Hey, look," I said, pointing out the window. "That guy in a wheelchair just lapped us." Stephen ignored me, and so I started to fiddle with the radio. One of my favorite things about going to the beach was the radio stations. I was as familiar with them as I was with the ones back home. And listening to Q94 made me just really know inside that I was there. At the beach. I found my favorite station, the one that played everything from pop to oldies to hip-hop. Tom Petty was singing Free Fallen. I sang right along with him. "She's a good girl, crazy about Elvis, loves horses, and her boyfriend, too." Stephen reached over to switch stations, and I slapped his hand away. "Billy, your voice makes me want to run this car into the ocean." He pretended to swerve right. I sang even louder, which woke up my mother, and she started to sing, too. We both had terrible voices, and Stephen shook his head in his disgusted Stephen way. He hated being outnumbered. It was what bothered him most about our parents being divorced, being the lone guy, without our dad to take his side. We drove through town slowly, and even though I'd just teased Stephen about it, I didn't really mind. I loved this drive, this moment. Seeing the town again, Jimmy's Crab Shack, the putt-putt, all the surf shops. It was like coming home after you'd been gone a long, long time. It held a million promises of summer and of what just might be. As we got closer and closer to the house, I could feel that familiar flutter in my chest. We were almost there. I rolled down the window and took it all in. The air tasted just the same, smelled just the same. The wind making my hair feel sticky, the salty sea breeze, all of it felt just right. Like it had been waiting for me to get there. Stephen elbowed me. "Are you thinking about Conrad?" he asked mockingly. For once the answer was no. "No," I snapped. My mother stuck her head in between our two seats. "Belly, do you still like Conrad? From the looks of things last summer, I thought there might be something between you and Jeremiah." "What? You and Jeremiah?" Stephen looked sickened. "What happened with you and Jeremiah?" "Nothing," I told them both. I could feel the flush rising up from my chest. I wished I had a tan already to cover it up. Mom, just because two people are good friends, it doesn't mean there's anything going on. Please never bring that up again. My mother leaned back into the back seat. Done, she said. Her voice had that note of finality that I knew Stephen wouldn't be able to break through. Because he was Stephen, he tried anyway. What happened with you and Jeremiah? You can't say something like that and not explain. Get over it, I told him. Telling Stephen anything would only give him ammunition to make fun of me. And anyway, there was nothing to tell. There had never been anything to tell. Not really. Conrad and Jeremiah were Beck's boys. Beck was Susanna Fisher, formerly Susanna Beck. My mother was the only one who called her Beck. They'd known each other since they were 9. Blood sisters, they called each other. And they had the scars to prove it. Identical marks on their wrists that looked like hearts. Susanna told me that when I was born, she knew I was destined for one of her boys. She said it was fate. My mother, who didn't normally go in for that kind of thing, said it would be perfect, as long as I'd had at least a few loves before I settled down. Actually, she said lovers, but that word made me cringe. Susanna put her hands on my cheeks and said, Belly, you have my unequivocal blessing. I'd hate to lose my boys to anyone else. We'd been going to Susanna's beach house in Cousins Beach every summer since I was a baby, since before I was born even. For me, Cousins was less about the town and more about the house. The house was my world. We had our own stretch of beach all to ourselves. The summer house was made up of lots of things. The wraparound porch we used to run around on, jugs of sun tea, the swimming pool at night. But the boys most of all. I always wondered what the boys looked like in December. I tried to picture them in cranberry-colored scarves and turtleneck sweaters, rosy-cheeked, and standing beside a Christmas tree. But the image always seemed false. I did not know the winter Jeremiah or the winter Conrad, and I was jealous of everyone who did. I got flip-flops and sunburned noses and swim trunks and sand. But what about those New England girls who had snowball fights with them in the woods? The ones who snuggled up to them while they waited for the car to heat up? The ones they gave their coats to when it was chilly outside? Well, Jeremiah, maybe. Not Conrad. Conrad would never. It wasn't his style. Either way, it didn't seem fair. I'd sit next to the radiator in history class and wonder what they were doing. If they were warming their feet along the bottom of a radiator somewhere too. Counting the days until summer again. For me, it was almost like winter didn't count. Summer was what mattered. My whole life was measured in summers. Like I don't really begin living until June, until I'm at that beach, in that house. Conrad was the older one, by a year and a half. He was dark, 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 completely unattainable, unavailable. He had a smirky kind of mouth, and I always found myself staring at it. Smirky mouths make you want to kiss them, to smooth them out and kiss the smirkiness away. Or maybe not away, but you want to control it somehow. Make it yours. It was exactly what I wanted to do with Conrad. Make him mine. Jeremiah, though, he was my friend. He was nice to me. He was the kind of boy who still hugged his mother, still wanted to hold her hand, even when he was technically too old for it. He wasn't embarrassed either. Jeremiah Fisher was too busy having fun to ever be embarrassed. I bet Jeremiah was more popular than Conrad at school. I bet the girls liked him better. I bet that if it weren't for football, Conrad wouldn't be some big deal. He would just be quiet, moody Conrad, not a football god. And I liked that. I liked that Conrad preferred to be alone, playing his guitar, like he was above all the stupid high school stuff. I liked to think that if Conrad went to my school, he wouldn't play football. He'd be on the lit mag. And he'd notice someone like me. When we finally pulled up to the house, Jeremiah and Conrad were sitting out on the front porch. I leaned over Stephen and honked the horn twice, which in our summer language meant, "Come help with the bags, stat." Conrad was 18 now. He'd just had a birthday. He was taller than last summer, if you can believe it. His hair was cut short around his ears and was as dark as ever. Unlike Jeremiah's, whose hair had gotten longer, so he looked a little shaggy, but in a good way, like a 1970s tennis player. When he was younger, it was curly yellow, almost platinum in the summer. Jeremiah hated his curls. For a while, Conrad had him convinced that crusts made your hair curly, so Jeremiah had stopped eating sandwich crusts, and Conrad would polish them off. As Jeremiah got older, though, his hair was less and less curly and more wavy. I missed his curls. Susanna called him her little angel, and he used to look like one, with his rosy cheeks and yellow curls. He still had the rosy cheeks. Jeremiah made a megaphone with his hands and yelled, "Steve-o!" I sat in the car and watched Stephen amble up to them and hug, the way guys do. The air smelled salty and wet, like it might rain seawater any second. I pretended to be tying the laces on my sneakers, but really, I just wanted a moment to look at them. At the house for a little while. In private. The house was large and gray and white, and it looked like most every other house on the road. But better. It looked just the way I thought a beach house should look. It looked like home. My mother got out of the car then, too. "Hey, boys, where's your mother?" she called out. "Hey, Laurel, she's taking a nap," Jeremiah called back. Usually she came flying out of the house the second our car pulled up. My mother walked over to them in about 3 strides, and she hugged them both tightly. My mother's hug was as firm and solid as her handshake. She disappeared into the house with her sunglasses perched on the top of her head. I got out of the car and slung my bag over my shoulder. They didn't even notice me walk up at first. But then they did. They really did. Conrad gave me a quick glance over, the way boys do at the mall. He had never looked at me like that before in my whole life. Not once. I could feel my flush from the car return. Jeremiah, on the other hand, did a double take. He looked at me like he didn't even recognize me. All of this happened in the span of about 3 seconds, but it felt much, much longer. Conrad hugged me first, but a faraway kind of hug, careful not to get too close. He'd just gotten a haircut, and the skin around the nape of his neck looked pink and new, like a baby's. He smelled like the ocean. He smelled like Conrad. "I liked you better with glasses," he said, his lips close to my ear. That stung. I shoved him away and said, "Well, too bad. My contacts are here to stay." He smiled at me, and that smile, he just gets in. His smile did it every time.
"I think you got a few new ones," he said, tapping me on the nose.
He knew how self-conscious I was about my freckles, and he still teased me every time. Then Jeremiah grabbed me next, and he almost lifted me into the air. "Belly button's all grown up," he crowed. I laughed. "Put me down," I told him. "You smell like B.O. Jeremiah laughed loudly. "Same old belly," he said. But he was staring at me, like he wasn't quite sure who I was. He cocked his head and said, "Something looks different about you, Belly." I braced myself for the punchline. "What? I got contacts." I wasn't completely used to myself without glasses either. My best friend Taylor had been trying to convince me to get contacts since the sixth grade, and I'd finally listened. He smiled.
"It's not that. You just look different."
I went back to the car then, and the boys followed me. We unloaded the car quickly, and as soon as we were done, I picked up my suitcase and my book bag and headed straight for my old bedroom. My room was Susanna's from when she was a child. It had faded calico wallpaper and a white bedroom set. There was a music box I loved. When you opened it, there was a twirling ballerina that danced to the theme song from Romeo and Juliet, the old-timey version. I kept my jewelry in it. Everything about my room was old and faded, but I loved that about it. It felt like there might be secrets in the walls, in the four-poster bed, especially in that music box. Seeing Conrad again? Having him look at me that way, I felt like I needed a second to breathe. I grabbed the stuffed polar bear on my dresser and hugged him close to my chest. His name was Junior Mint, Junior for short. I sat down with Junior on my twin bed. My heart was beating so loudly I could hear it. Everything was the same, but not. They had looked at me like I was a real girl. Not just somebody's little sister. Chapter 2. Age 12. The first time I ever had my heart broken was at this house. I was 12. It was one of those really rare nights when the boys weren't all together. Stephen and Jeremiah went on an overnight fishing trip with some boys they'd met at the arcade. Conrad said he didn't feel like going, and of course I wasn't invited. So it was just me and him. Well, not together, but in the same house. I was reading a romance novel in my room with my feet on the wall when Conrad walked by. He stopped and said, "Belly, what are you doing tonight?" I folded the cover of my book over quickly. "Nothing," I said. I tried to keep my voice even, not too excited or eager. I had left my door open on purpose, hoping he'd stop by. "Want to go to the boardwalk with me?" he asked. He sounded casual. Almost too casual. This was the moment I had been waiting for. This was it. I was finally old enough. Some part of me knew it, too. It was ready. I glanced over at him, just as casual as he'd been. "Maybe." "I have been craving a caramel apple." "I'll buy one for you," he offered. "Just hurry up and put some clothes on and we'll go. Our moms are going to the movies. They'll drop us off on the way." I sat up and said, "Okay." As soon as Conrad left, I closed my door and ran over to my mirror. I took my hair out of its braids and brushed it. It was long that summer, almost to my waist. Then I changed out of my bathing suit and put on white shorts and my favorite gray shirt. My dad said it matched my eyes. I smeared some strawberry frosting lip gloss on my lips and tucked the tube into my pocket for later, in case I needed to reapply. In the car, Susanna kept smiling at me in the rearview mirror. I gave her a look like,
quit, please? But I wanted to smile back. Conrad wasn't paying attention anyway. He was looking out the window the whole ride there. Have fun, kids, said Susanna, winking at me as I closed my door. Conrad bought me a caramel apple first. He bought himself a soda, but that was it. Usually he ate at least an apple or two, or a funnel cake. He seemed nervous, which made me feel less nervous. As we walked down the boardwalk, I let my arm hang loose. In case. But he didn't reach for it. It was one of those perfect summer nights. The kind where there's a cool breeze and not one drop of rain. There would be rain tomorrow, but that night there were cool breezes and that was it. I said, let's sit down so I can eat my apple. So we did. We sat on a bench that faced the beach. I bit into my apple carefully. I was worried I might get caramel all stuck in my teeth, and then how would he kiss me? He sipped his Coke noisily and then glanced down at his watch. When you finish that, let's go to the ring toss. He wanted to win me a stuffed animal. I already knew which one I'd pick, too, the polar bear with wire-framed glasses and a scarf. I'd had my eye on it all summer. I could already picture myself showing it off to Taylor. Oh, that? Conrad Fisher won it for me. I wolfed down the rest of my apple in about 2 bites. Kay, I said, wiping my mouth with the back of my hand. Let's go. Conrad walked straight over to the ring toss, and I had to walk super quick to keep up. As usual, he wasn't talking much, so I talked even more to make up for it. I think when we get back, my mom might finally get cable. Steven and my dad and I have been trying to convince her for forever. She claims to be so against TV, but then she watches movies on A&E, like, the whole time we're here. It's so hypocritical, I said. And my voice trailed off when I saw that Conrad wasn't even listening. He was watching the girl who worked the ring toss. She looked about 14 or 15. The first thing I noticed about her was her shorts. They were canary yellow, and they were really, really short. The exact same kind of shorts that the boys had made fun of me for wearing 2 days before. I felt so good about buying those shorts with Susanna, and then the boys had laughed at me for it. The shorts looked a whole lot better on her. Her legs were skinny and freckled, and so were her arms. Everything about her was skinny, even her lips. Her hair was long and wavy. It was red, but it was so light it was almost peach. I think it might have been the prettiest hair I'd ever seen. She'd had it pulled over to the side, and it was so long that she had to keep flicking it away as she handed people rings. Conrad had come to the boardwalk for her. He'd brought me because he hadn't wanted to come alone, and he hadn't wanted Stephen and Jeremiah to give him a hard time. That was it. That was the whole reason. I could see it all in the way he looked at her. The way he almost seemed to hold his breath. Do you know her? I asked. He looked startled, like he'd forgotten I was there. Her? No, not really. I bit my lip. Well, do you want to? Do I want to what? Conrad was confused, which was annoying. Do you want to know her? I asked impatiently. I guess. I grabbed him by his shirt sleeve and walked right up to the booth. The girl smiled at us, and I smiled back, but it was just for show. I was playing a part. How many rings? She asked. She had braces, but on her they looked interesting, like teeth jewelry, and not like orthodontics.
We'll take three, I told her. I like your shorts. Thanks, she said. Conrad cleared his throat.
They're nice.
I thought you said they were too short when I wore the exact same pair 2 days ago. I turned to the girl and said, Conrad is so overprotective. Do you have a big brother? She laughed.
No.
To Conrad, she said, you think they're too short? He blushed. I'd never seen him blush before. Not in the whole time I'd known him. I had a feeling it might be the last time. I made a big show of looking at my watch and said, Con, I'm gonna go ride the Ferris wheel before we leave. Win me a prize, okay? Conrad nodded quickly, and I said bye to the girl and left. I walked over to the Ferris wheel as fast as I could so they wouldn't see me cry. Later on, I found out the girl's name was Angie. Conrad ended up winning me the polar bear with the wireframe glasses and scarf. He said Angie told him it was the best prize they had. He said he thought I'd like it too. I told him I'd rather have had the giraffe, but thanks anyway. I named him Junior Mint, and I left him where he belonged, at the summer house. Chapter 3. After I unpacked, I went straight down to the pool, where I knew the boys would be. They were lying around on the deck chairs, their dirty bare feet hanging off the edges. As soon as Jeremiah saw me, he sprang up. Ladies and gentlemen, men, he began dramatically, bowing like a circus ringmaster. I do believe it is time for our first belly flop of the summer. I inched away from them uneasily. Too fast a movement, and it would be all over. They'd chase me then. No way, I said. Then Conrad and Steven stood up, circling me. You can't fight tradition, Steven said. Conrad just grinned evilly. I'm too old for this, I said desperately. I walked backward, and that's when they grabbed me. Steven and Jeremiah each took a wrist. Come on, guys, I said, trying to wriggle out of their grasp. I dragged my feet, but they pulled me along. I knew it was futile to resist, but I always tried, even though the bottoms of my feet got burned along the pavement in the process. Ready? Jeremiah said, lifting me up under my armpits. Conrad grabbed my feet, and then Steven took my right arm while Jeremiah hung on to my left. They swung me back and forth like I was a sack of flour. I hate you guys! I yelled over their laughter. One, Jeremiah began. Two, Steven said. And three, Conrad finished. Then they launched me into the pool, clothes and all. I hit the water with a loud smack. Underwater, I could hear them busting up. The belly flop was something they'd started about a million summers ago. Probably it had been Steven. I hated it. Even though it was one of the only times I was included in their fun, I hated being the brunt of it. It made me feel utterly powerless, and it was a reminder that I was an outsider, too weak to fight them, all because I was a girl. Somebody's little sister. I used to cry about it, run to Susanna and my mother, but it didn't do any good. The boys just accused me of being a tattletale. Not this time, though. This time I was going to be a good sport. If I was a good sport, maybe that would take away some of their joy. When I came up to the surface, I smiled and said, "You guys are 10-year-olds." "For life," Steven said smugly. His smuggy face made me want to splash him and soak him in his precious Hugo Boss sunglasses that he worked for 3 weeks to pay for. Then I said, I think you twisted my ankle, Conrad. I pretended to have trouble swimming over to them. He walked over to the edge of the pool.
I'm pretty sure you'll live, he said, smirking.
At least help me out, I demanded. He squatted and gave me his hand, which I took. Thanks, I said giddily. Then I gripped tight and pulled his arm as hard as I could. He stumbled, fell forward, and landed in the pool with a splash even bigger than mine. I think I laughed harder right then than I've laughed in my whole life. So did Jeremiah and Stephen. I think maybe all of Cousins Beach heard us laughing. Conrad's head bobbed up quickly, and he swam over to me in about 2 strokes. I worried he might be mad, but he wasn't. Not completely. He was smiling, but in a threatening kind of way. I dodged away from him. Can't catch me, I said gleefully. Too slow. Every time he came close, I swam away. Marco, I called out, giggling. Jeremiah and Stephen, who were headed back to the house, said, Polo, which made me laugh, which made me slow to swim away, and Conrad caught my foot. Let go, I gasped, still laughing. Conrad shook his head. I thought I was too slow, he said, treading water closer to me. We were in the diving well. His white t-shirt was soaked through, and I could see the pinky gold of his skin. There was this weird stillness between us all of a sudden. He still held onto my foot, and I was trying to stay afloat. For a second, I wished Jeremiah and Stephen were still there. I didn't know why. Let go, I said again. He pulled on my foot, drawing me closer. Being this close to him was making me feel dizzy and nervous. I said it again, one last time, even though I didn't mean it. Conrad let go of me. He did. And then he dunked me. It didn't matter. I was already holding my breath. Chapter 4. Susanna came down from her nap a little while after we put on dry clothes, apologizing for missing our big homecoming. She still looked sleepy, and her hair was all feathery on one side, like a kid's. She and my mother hugged first, fierce and long. My mother looked so happy to see her that she was teary. And my mother was never teary. Then it was my turn. Susanna swept me in for a hug, the close kind that's long enough to make you wonder how long it's going to last. Who'll pull away first? You look thin, I told her. Partly because it was true, and partly because I knew she loved to hear it. She was always on a diet, always watching what she ate. To me, she was perfect. Thanks, honey, Susanna said, finally letting me go, looking at me from arm's length. She shook her head and said, When did you go and grow up? When did you turn into this phenomenal woman? I smiled self-consciously, glad that the boys were upstairs and not around to hear this. I look pretty much the same. You've always been lovely, but oh, honey, look at you. She shook her head like she was in awe of me. You're so pretty. So pretty. You're going to have an amazing, amazing summer. It'll be a summer you'll never forget. Susanna always spoke in absolutes like that. And when she did, it sounded like a proclamation. Like it would come true because she said so. The thing is, Susanna was right. It was a summer I'd never, ever forget. It was the summer everything began. It was the summer I turned pretty. Because for the first time, I felt it. Pretty I mean. Every summer up to this one, I believed it'd be different. Life would be different. And that summer, it finally was. I was. Chapter 5. Dinner the first night was always the same. A big pot of spicy bouillabaisse that Susanna cooked up while she waited for us to arrive. Lots of shrimp and crab legs and squid. She knew I loved squid. Even when I was little, I would pick out the squid and save it for last. Susanna put the pot in the middle of the table, along with a few crusty loaves of French bread from the bakery nearby. Each of us would get a bowl, and we'd help ourselves to the pot all throughout dinner, dipping the ladle back into the pot. Susanna and my mother always had red wine, and us kids had grape Fanta. But on that night, there were wine glasses for everyone. I think we're all old enough to partake now. Don't you, Lore? Susanna said as we sat down. I don't know about that, my mother began, but then she stopped. Oh, all right. Fine. I'm being provincial, isn't that right, Beck? Susanna laughed and uncorked the bottle. You? Never, she said, pouring a little wine for each of us. It's a special night. It's the first night of summer. Conrad drank his wine in about 2 gulps. He drank it like he was used to drinking it. I guess a lot can happen over the course of a year. He said, It's not the first night of summer, Mom. Oh, yes it is. Summer doesn't start until our friends get here, Susanna said, reaching across the table and touching my hand. And Conrad's, too. He jerked away from her. Almost by accident. Susanna didn't seem to notice. But I did. I always noticed Conrad. Jeremiah must have seen it, too, because he changed the subject. Belly, check out my latest scar, he said, pulling up his shirt. I scored 3 field goals that night. Jeremiah played football. He was proud of all of his battle scars. I leaned in next to him to get a good look. It was a long scar that was just beginning to fade, right across the bottom of his stomach. Clearly, he'd been working out. His stomach was flat and hard, and it hadn't looked like that last summer even. He looked bigger than Conrad now. Wow, I said. Conrad snorted. Jer just wants to show off his 2-pack, he said, breaking off a piece of bread and dipping it into his bowl. Why don't you show all of us and not just Billy? Yeah, show us, Jer, Stephen said, grinning. Jeremiah grinned right back. To Conrad, he said, You're just jealous because you quit. Conrad had quit football? That was news to me. Conrad, you quit, man? Stephen asked. I guessed it was news to him, too. Conrad was really good. Susanna used to mail us his newspaper clippings. He and Jeremiah had been on the team together these last 2 years, but it was Conrad who'd been the star. Conrad shrugged indifferently. His hair was still wet from the pool, and so was mine. It got boring, he said. What he means is he got boring, Jeremiah said. Then he stood up and pulled off his shirt. Pretty nice, huh? Susanna threw her head back and laughed, and my mother did too. Sit down, Jeremiah, she said, shaking the loaf of bread at him like a sword. What do you think, Belly? He asked me. He looked like he was winking, even though he wasn't. Pretty nice, I agreed, trying not to smile. Now it's Belly's turn to show off, Conrad said mockingly. Belly doesn't need to show off. We can all see how lovely she is just looking at her, Susanna said, sipping her wine and smiling at me. Lovely? Yeah, right, said Stephen. She's a lovely pain in my ass. Stephen, my mother warned. What? What'd I say? He asked.
Stephen's too much of a pig to understand the concept of lovely, I said sweetly. I pushed the bread to him. Oink, oink, Stephen. Have some more bread.
Don't mind if I do, he said, breaking off a crusty chunk. Belly, tell us about all the hot friends you're gonna set me up with, Jeremiah said.
Didn't we already try that once? I said. Don't tell me you've forgotten about Taylor Jewel already. Everyone busted up laughing then. Even Conrad.
Jeremiah's cheeks turned pink, but he was laughing too, and shaking his head. You're not a nice girl, Belly, he said. There's plenty of cute girls at the country club, so don't worry about me. Worry about Con. He's the one missing out.
The original plan was for both Jeremiah and Conrad to work at the country club as lifeguards. Conrad had done it the summer before. This summer, Jeremiah was old enough to do it with him, but Conrad changed his mind at the last minute and decided to bus tables at the fancy seafood buffet instead. We used to go there all the time. Kids 12 and younger could eat there for $20. There was a time when I was the only one 12 or younger. My mother always made sure to tell the waiter that I was younger than 12. As, like, principal. Every time she did it, I felt like disappearing. I wished I was invisible. It wasn't that the boys even made a big deal out of it, which they easily could have. But it was the feeling different, like an outsider, that I hated. I hated it being pointed out. I just wanted to be like them. Chapter 6. Age 10. Right off the bat, the boys were a unit. Conrad was the leader. His word was pretty much law. Stephen was his second in command, and Jeremiah was the jester. That first night, Conrad decided that the boys were going to sleep on the beach in sleeping bags and make a fire. He was a Boy Scout. He knew all about that kind of stuff. Jealously, I watched them plan, especially when they packed the graham crackers and marshmallows. Don't take the whole box, I wanted to tell them. I didn't, though. It wasn't my place. It wasn't even my house.
Stephen, make sure you bring the flashlight, Conrad directed.
Stephen nodded quickly. I had never seen him follow orders before. He looked up to Conrad, who was 8 months older. It had always been that way. Everybody had somebody but me. I wished I was at home, making butterscotch sundaes with my dad and eating them on our living room floor.
Jeremiah, don't forget the cards,
Conrad added, rolling up a sleeping bag. Jeremiah saluted him and danced a little jig, which made me giggle.
Sir, yes, sir.
He turned to me on the couch and said, Conrad is bossy like our dad. Don't feel like you have to listen to him or anything. Jeremiah talking to me made me feel brave enough to say, can I come too? Right away, Stephen said,
no, guys only, right, Con?
Conrad hesitated.
Sorry, Belly, he said.
And he really did look sorry for a second. 2 seconds, even. Then he went back to rolling his sleeping bag. I turned away from them and faced the TV. That's okay. I don't really care anyway.
Ooh, watch out. Belly's gonna cry, Stephen said joyously.
To Jeremiah and Conrad, he said,
when she doesn't get her way, she cries. Our dad always falls for it.
Shut up, Stephen! I yelled. I was worried I really might cry. The last thing I needed was to be a crybaby our first night. Then they'd never take me along for real.
Belly's gonna cry, Stephen said in a sing-song voice.
Then he and Jeremiah started to dance a jig together.
Leave her alone, Conrad said.
Stephen stopped dancing.
What?
He said, confused.
You guys are so immature,
Conrad said, shaking his head.
I watched them pick up their gear and get ready to leave. I was about to lose my chance to camp, to be a part of the gang. Quickly, I said, "Steven, if you don't let me go, I'll tell Mom." Steven's face twisted. "No, you won't. Mom hates it when you tattletale." It was true. My mother hated it when I told on Steven for things like this. She'd say he needed his own time, that I could go the next time around, that it would be more fun at the house with her and Beck anyway. I sank into the couch, arms crossed. I'd lost my chance. Now I just looked like a tattletale. A baby. On the way out, Jeremiah turned around and danced a quick jig for me, and I couldn't help it. I laughed. Over his shoulder, Conrad said, "Good night, Billy." And that was it. I was in love. Chapter 7. I didn't notice right away that their family had more money than ours. The beach house wasn't some fancy kind of place. It was a real honest-to-God beach house, the kind that's lived in and comfortable. It had faded old seersucker couches and a creaking lazy boy us kids always fought over, and peeling white paint and hardwood floors that had been bleached by the sun. But it was a big house, room enough for all of us and more. They'd built an addition years ago. On one end, there was my mother's room, Susanna and Mr. Fisher's room, and an empty guest room. On the other end was my room, another guest room, and the room the boys shared, which I was jealous of. There used to be bunk beds and a twin in that room, and I hated that I had to sleep all alone in mine when I could hear them giggling and whispering all night through the wall. A couple of times the boys let me sleep in there, too, but only when they had some especially gruesome story they wanted to tell. I was a good audience. I always screamed at all the right places. Since we've gotten older, the boys have stopped sharing a room. Steven started staying over on the parents' end. And Jeremiah and Conrad both had their rooms on my end. The boys and I have shared a bathroom since the beginning. Ours is on our end of the house. And then my mother has her own, and Susanna's is connected to the master bedroom. There are two sinks. Jeremiah and Conrad shared one, and Stephen and I shared the other. When we were little, the boys never put the seat down, and they still didn't. It was a constant reminder that I was different, that I wasn't one of them. Little things have changed, though. It used to be that they left water all over the place, either from splash fights or from just being careless. Now that they shaved, they left their little chin hairs all over the sink. The counter was crowded with their different deodorants and shaving cream and cologne. They had more cologne than I had perfume. One pink French bottle my dad bought me for Christmas when I was 13. It smelled like vanilla and burnt sugar. And lemon. I think his grad student girlfriend picked it out. He wasn't good at that sort of thing. Anyway, I didn't leave my perfume in the bathroom mixed in with all their stuff. I kept it on the dresser in my room. And I never wore it anyway. I didn't know why I even brought it with me. Chapter 8. After dinner, I stayed downstairs on the couch, and so did Conrad. He sat there across from me, strumming chords on his guitar with his head bent. "So, I heard you have a girlfriend," I said. "I heard it's pretty serious."
"My brother has a big mouth."
About a month before we'd left for cousins, Jeremiah had called Stephen. They were on the phone for a while, and I hid outside Stephen's bedroom door, listening. Stephen didn't say a whole lot on his end, but it seemed like a serious conversation. I burst into his room and asked him what they were talking about, and Stephen accused me of being a nosy little spy, and then he finally told me that Conrad had a girlfriend. "So, what's she like?" I didn't look at him when I said this. I was afraid he'd be able to see how much I cared.
Conrad cleared his throat.
We broke up, he said. I almost gasped. My heart did a little ping. Your mom is right. You are a heartbreaker. I meant it to come out as a joke, but the words rang in my head and in the air like some kind of declaration. He flinched.
She dumped me, he said flatly.
I couldn't imagine anyone breaking up with Conrad. I wondered what she was like. Suddenly, she was this compelling, actual person in my mind.
What was her name?
What does it matter? He said, his voice rough. Then,
Aubrey. Her name is Aubrey.
Why did she break up with you? I couldn't help myself. I was too curious. Who was this girl? I pictured someone with pale, white blonde hair and turquoise eyes. Someone with perfect cuticles and oval-shaped nails. I'd always had to keep mine short for piano, and then after I quit, I still kept them short because I was used to them that way. Conrad put down the guitar and stared off into space moodily.
She said I changed.
And did you?
I don't know. Everybody changes. You did.
How did I change? He shrugged and picked up his guitar again.
Like I said, everybody changes.
Conrad started playing the guitar in middle school. I hated it when he played the guitar. He'd sit there, strumming, halfway paying attention, only halfway present. He'd hum to himself, and he was someplace else. We'd be watching TV or playing cards, and he'd be strumming the guitar. Or he'd be in his room, practicing. For what? I didn't know. All I knew was that it took time away from us.
Listen to this, he'd said once, stretching out his headphones so I had one and he had the other.
Our heads touched.
Isn't it amazing?
It was Pearl Jam. Conrad was as happy and enthralled as if he had discovered them himself. I'd never heard of them, but at that moment, it was the best song I'd ever heard. I went out and bought 10 and listened to it on repeat. When I listened to track 5, Black, it was like I was there, in that moment all over again. After the summer was over, when I got back home, I went to the music store and bought the sheet music and learned to play it on the piano. I thought one day I could accompany Conrad and we could be, like, a band. Which was so stupid. The summer house didn't even have a piano. Susanna tried to get one for the summer house, so I could practice. But my mother wouldn't let her. Chapter 9. At night when I couldn't sleep, I'd sneak downstairs and go for a swim in the pool. I'd start doing laps, and I'd keep going until I felt tired. When I went to bed, my muscles felt nice and sore, but also shivery and relaxed. I loved bundling myself up after a swim in one of Susanna's cornflower blue bath sheets. I'd never even heard of bath sheets before Susanna. And then, tiptoeing back upstairs, falling asleep with my hair still wet. You sleep so well after you've been in the water. It's like no other feeling. 2 summers ago, Susanna found me down there, and some nights she'd swim with me. I'd be underwater, doing my laps, and I'd feel her dive in and start to swim on the other side of the pool. We wouldn't talk. We'd just swim. But it was comforting to have her there. It was the only time that summer that I ever saw her without her wig. Back then, because of the chemo, Susanna wore her wig all the time.
No one saw her without it. Not even my mother. Susanna had had the prettiest hair. Long, caramel-colored, soft as cotton candy. Her wig didn't even compare, and it was real human hair and everything, the best money could buy. After the chemo, after her hair grew back, she kept it short. Cut right below her chin. It was pretty, but it wasn't the same. Looking at her now, you'd never know who she used to be. With her hair long like a teenager. Like mine. That first night of the summer, I couldn't sleep. It always took me a night or two to get used to my bed again, even though I'd slept in it pretty much every summer of my life. I tossed and turned for a while, and then I couldn't stand it anymore. I put on my bathing suit, my old swim team one that barely fit anymore, with the gold stripes and the racer back. It was my first night swim of the summer. When I swam alone at night, everything felt so much clearer. Listening to myself breathe in and out. It made me feel calm and steady and strong. Like I could swim forever. I swam back and forth a few times, and on the fourth lap, I started to flip turn, but I kicked something solid. I came up for air and saw it was Conrad's leg. He was sitting on the edge of the pool with his feet dangling in. He'd been watching me that whole time. And he was smoking a cigarette. I stayed underwater up to my chin. I was suddenly aware of how my bathing suit was too small for me now. There was no way I was getting out of the water with him still there. "Since when did you start smoking?" I asked accusingly. "And what are you doing down here anyway?" "Which do you want me to answer first?" He had that amused, condescending Conrad look on his face, the one that drove me crazy. I swam over to the wall and rested my arms on the edge. "The second." "I couldn't sleep, so I went for a walk," he said, shrugging. He was lying. He'd only come outside to smoke. "How did you know I was out here?" I demanded.
"You always swim out here at night, Belly. Come on."
He took a drag of his cigarette. He knew I swam at night? I thought it was my special secret, mine and Susanna's. I wondered how long he had known. I wondered if everyone knew. I didn't even know why it mattered, but it did. To me, it did. "Okay, fine. Then when did you start smoking?"
"I don't know. Last year, maybe?"
He was being vague on purpose. It was maddening. "Well, you shouldn't. You should quit right now. Are you addicted?" He laughed.
"No."
"Then quit. If you put your mind to it, I know you can." If he put his mind to it, I knew he could do anything.
"Maybe I don't want to."
"You should, Conrad. Smoking is so bad for you."
"What will you give me if I do?"
he asked teasingly. He held the cigarette in the air, above his beer can. The air felt different all of a sudden. It felt charged, electric, like I had been zapped by a thunderbolt. I let go of the edge and started to tread water, away from him. It felt like forever before I spoke. "Nothing," I said. "You should quit for yourself."
"You're right," he said.
And the moment was over. He stood up and ground his cigarette out on the top of the can.
"Good night, Belly. Don't stay out here too late. You never know what kind of monsters come out at night."
Everything felt normal again. I splashed water at his legs as he walked away. "Screw you," I said to his back. A long time ago, Conrad and Jeremiah and Stephen convinced me that there was a child killer on the loose. The kind who liked chubby little girls with brown hair and grayish-blue eyes.
"Wait! Are you quitting or not?" I yelled.
He didn't answer me. He just laughed. I could tell by the way his shoulders shook as he closed the gate. After he left, I fell back into the water and floated. I could feel my heart beating through my ears. It thudded, quick, 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 like a metronome. Conrad was different. I'd sensed something, even at dinner, before he'd told me about Aubrey. He had changed. And yet, the way he affected me was still the same. It felt just exactly the same. It felt like I was at the top of the grizzly at King's Dominion, right about to go down the first hill. Chapter 10.
"Belly, have you called your dad yet?" my mother asked me.
"No."
"I think you should call him and tell him how you're doing."
I rolled my eyes. I doubt he's sitting at home worrying about it.
"Still."
"Well, have you made Stephen call him?" I countered.
"No, I haven't,"
she said, her tone level.
"Your dad and Stephen are about to spend 2 weeks together looking at colleges. You, on the other hand, won't get to see him until the end of summer."
Why did she have to be so reasonable?
Everything was that way with her. My mother was the only person I knew who could have a reasonable divorce.
My mother got up and handed me the phone. "Call your father," she said, leaving the room. She always left the room when I called my father, like she was giving me privacy. As if there were some secrets I needed to tell my father that I couldn't tell him in front of her. I didn't call him. I put the phone back in its cradle. He should be the one calling me, not the other way around. He was the father. I was just the kid. And anyway, dads didn't belong in the summer house. Not my father and not Mr. Fisher. Sure, they'd come to visit, but it wasn't their place. They didn't belong to it. Not the way we all did. The mothers and us kids. Chapter 11. Age 9. We were playing cards outside on the porch, and my mother and Susanna were drinking margaritas and playing their own card game. The sun was starting to go down, and soon the mothers would have to go inside and boil corn and hot dogs. But not yet. First, they played cards. "Laurel, why do you call my mom Beck when everyone else calls her Susanna?" Jeremiah wanted to know. He and my brother, Stephen, were a team, and they were losing. Card games bored Jeremiah, and he was always looking for something more interesting to do, to talk about. "Because her maiden name is Beck," my mother explained, grinding out a cigarette. "They only smoked when they were together, so it was a special occasion." My mother said smoking with Susanna made her feel young again. I said it would shorten her lifespan by years, but she waved off my worries and called me a doomsdayer. "What's a maiden name?" Jeremiah asked. My brother tapped Jeremiah's hand of cards to get him back into the game, but Jeremiah ignored him.
"It's a lady's name before she gets married, Dipwad," said Conrad.
"Don't call him Dipwad, Conrad,"
Susanna said automatically, sorting through her hand.
"But why does she have to change her name at all?" Jeremiah wondered.
"She doesn't."
"I didn't.
My name is Laurel Dunn. Same as the day I was born." "Nice, huh?" My mother liked to feel superior to Susanna for not changing her name. After all, why should a woman have to change her name for a man? She shouldn't.
"Laurel, please shut up,"
said Susanna, throwing a few cards down onto the table.
"Gin."
My mother sighed and threw her cards down, too.
"I don't want to play gin anymore. Let's play something else. Let's play go fish with these guys."
"Sore loser," Susanna said.
Mom, we're not playing Go Fish. We're playing hearts, and you can't play because you always try to cheat, I said. Conrad was my partner, and I was pretty sure we were going to win. I had picked him on purpose. Conrad was good at winning. He was the fastest swimmer, the best boogie boarder, and he always, always won at cards. Susanna clapped her hands together and laughed. Lore, this girl is you all over again. My mother said, no, Belly's her father's daughter. And they exchanged the secret look that made me want to say, what, what? But I knew my mother would never say. She was a secret keeper. Always had been. And I guessed I did look like my father. I had his eyes that turned up at the corners, a little girl version of his nose, his chin that jutted out. All I had of my mother was her hands. Then the moment was over, and Susanna smiled at me and said, you're absolutely right, Belly. Your mother does cheat. She's always cheated at heart. Cheaters never prosper, children. Susanna was always calling us children, but the thing was, I didn't even mind. Normally, I would. But the way Susanna said it, it didn't seem like a bad thing. Not like we were small and babyish. Instead, it sounded like we had our whole lives in front of us. Chapter 12. Mr. Fisher would pop in throughout the summer, an occasional weekend, and always the first week of August. He was a banker, and getting away for any real length of time was, according to him, simply impossible. And anyway, it was better without him there, when it was just us. When Mr. Fisher came to town, which wasn't very often, I stood up a little straighter. Everyone did. Well, except Susanna and my mother, of course. The funny thing was, my mother had known Mr. Fisher for as long as Susanna had. The three of them had gone to college together, and their school was small. Susanna always told me to call Mr. Fisher Adam, but I could never do it. It just didn't sound right. Mr. Fisher was what sounded right, so that's what I called him, and that's what Stephen called him, too. I think something about him inspired people to call him that. And not just kids, either. I think he preferred it that way. He'd arrive at dinner time on Friday night, and we'd wait for him. Susanna would fix his favorite drink and have it ready, ginger and Maker's Mark. My mother teased her for waiting on him, but Susanna didn't mind. My mother teased Mr. Fisher, too, in fact. He teased her right back. Maybe teasing isn't the right word. It was more like bickering. They bickered a lot, but they smiled, too. It was funny. My mother and father had rarely argued, but they hadn't smiled that much either. I guess Mr. Fisher was good-looking for a dad. He was better-looking than my father, anyway. But he was also vainer than him. I don't know that he was as good-looking as Susanna was beautiful, but that might have just been because I loved Susanna more than almost anyone. And who could ever measure up to a person like that? Sometimes it's like people are a million times more beautiful to you in your mind. It's like you see them through a special lens. But maybe if it's how you see them, that's how they really are. It's like the whole tree falling in the forest thing. Mr. Fisher gave us kids a 20 anytime we went anywhere. Conrad was always in charge of it. For ice cream, he'd say, buy yourself something sweet. Something sweet. It was always something sweet. Conrad worshipped him. His dad was his hero. For a long time, anyway. Longer than most people.